tempt your palate and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Swallow. There we go. Welcome back, my friends. Chef and the Fat Man tasting during the shameless capitalistic plugs that we do that we're so proud of. It is Chef and the Fat Man and Food Power. Chefs, we are live at the Whole Foods. And Chef Eric, we had a chance to sample the pork chops.
Yes, sir.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
And you know, one of the people, a lot of people have the rub with the pork chop is that they're so dry. And a lot of times people do overcook them. But now that you know that the temperatures have dropped by 10 degrees from what it used to be.
Right.
You can have just a little tinge of color, but a whole lot of juice. And the way you cooked it, it really preserved a lot of the juice in the meat. Because that unique stock, because you're really basically searing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, which is helping to maintain the juice.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting it sit on one side for 4 or 5 minutes, flipping it over, sit on the other side, pour all that juice off on the grill.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the sort of the secret behind the whole thing is it doesn't break down the walls of the meat so much that it starts releasing juice through it. Because it's actually a little bit of a myth that searing keeps the juices in. The juices just tend to evacuate faster than they normally would. So don't worry about that aspect of it. That's why things like doing reverse sears are becoming more and more popular, which is actually cooking it first, like in the oven, and then finishing it on the stove, which is actually something I've done for years, and it works pretty well. And now I see on YouTube that people are releasing videos about it and calling it the perfect steak, things like that. And I think it really works quite well. But the other aspect is the sous vide is also one of those methods where you cook it first and then you sear it at the end. So, and I know you're not a big sous vide fan, but I think you're not a fan just because of all the hoopla about sous vide, not necessarily because you don't like the way it tastes.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because Chef Shen from James Shen from Taste of Home, he is our very special guest, which you'll be getting a chance to meet here in just a few minutes. But he's a gentleman who develops all the recipes for, or has all the recipes for, Taste of Home, which is the largest recipe magazine in the world. It's an incredible magazine. I've been taking it home now for a couple of years. But we are talking about recipes. And what he was, without giving away the interview, in our pre-interview, we had a chance to talk about it. And he said, what I really love is your guys' attitude towards the recipes that you do, because it follows very strictly what we try to do. You know, 30 minutes or less, lots of flavor, lots of taste, but they want to use recipes that are home-cooked recipes from, all their recipes, literally, Chef Eric, come from the readers.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They take all these recipes that they get, they develop their theme, they go and they test them and everything else. And I'll tell you, we talked about different kind of unique and different kinds of cooking styles, because he was a big believer in crock-pot cooking, too. He said, however, I do not get into the sous vide and all that nonsense. So I said, Chef, you and I are on the same page. You and Chef Eric might have a fight over it, but you and I are on the same page. But he is a graduate of the CIA and with honors. And I'll tell you what, man, to graduate with honors from the CIA, that is very impressive. But what a great gig.
Yeah.
I mean, and you and I will, looks like there's a very good chance that you and I are going to be going up to the test kitchens of Taste of Home. And you are actually going to be cooking with Chef Shend. And you guys are going to cook it up for a couple hours. And it'll be, man, I'm looking forward to that. I mean,
yeah,
the largest recipe magazine in the world. And we're going to be cooking with their top people and development people. I mean, that's you're going to have a ball. You're going to be like a kid in a candy store.
I think I'm going to have to do some sous vide when I'm up there.
Just really?
Yeah.
Now that you know that, I want to hear you. Go ahead, Mr. Silver Spoon. I want to see you stir it up there.
I'm going to.
Yeah, well, why am I not surprised? Anyway, my friends, Chef Eric, first we tried the pork chops. They were through the roof. Then we tried the orange chicken. And the engineer made a quite good observation. She's not thrilled about orange chicken because she, particularly General So's. You and I both like General So's.
Right.
She does not, but she said when she ate it, she said, this is really good because it was lighter. It wasn't as heavy and syrupy, and it wasn't as sugary, and it wasn't overpowering with the orange. So it's a really good recipe. The ingredient combination is extremely good, and that's what you were looking for.
Exactly. That's precisely what we're going for, is a lighter, less sweet, less in-your-face orange that can only be really achieved through fake flavoring added to it. I mean, that's typically what you're getting in most of those orange chickens. So, good. I'm glad that that's exactly what we were looking for. So, now what I'm doing is I'm making up a little bit of a salad dressing.
A little roughage for the...
Yeah. So what I did is I took some baby kale. Do not do this with... Do not make a salad ever with regular kale. Do you know that?
No, I didn't. Please tell me why, because I would never touch the nasty stuff anyway.
Well, because there's a substance in dark leafy greens such as kale, not baby kale, but or not as present in baby kale, but kale has a substance called oxalic acid.
Who?
Oxalic acid.
Oxalic acid.
O-X-A-L-I-C. And you can look it up. This is everything I'm telling you is absolutely true. That oxalic acid actually is a nutrient robber. It steals nutrients from in your digestive tract. When you eat things like raw kale, or if you blend kale without first either heating it, you know, blanching it, which cuts down a lot of the oxalic acid, or if you juice it and you leave the fiber aside, that's okay, because the oxalic acid is actually attached to the fiber within the kale. So when you're going to do kale, please, 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 either use baby kale if you're going to eat it raw, or just blanch it first, and then use the blanched kale. So just a little something. There's oxalic acid is not in baby spinach, but it is in regular spinach. And there's actually some reports that came out that initially said, well, it's not in spinach, but it turns out that it is. So
they lied. You're telling me the government report lied?
Yeah, really. Same folks that lied about saturated fats and all that sort of stuff. So, anyway, off we go to the next recipe. So the baby kale, I've thin chopped the baby kale, and really into little strips, almost like a chiffonade. Then I added in about 8 leaves of mint that I chiffonaded, added that in there, added in some of these great, from Whole Foods, maple bourbon pecans.
And those are so good.
They're fantastic. And I chopped those up into slivers and threw that in there. Now I'm creating my salad dressing. So the salad dressing is it's a spicy peanut dressing. So you can use this for a lot of different applications. But basically it's 3 tablespoons of creamy peanut butter.
Okay.
3 tablespoons of hot water or warm water. 3 tablespoons of rice wine vinegar.
Okay.
A tablespoon of pomegranate molasses.
Ooh.
A tablespoon of soy sauce.
Nice.
A teaspoon of fresh garlic. 2 teaspoons of fresh ginger. A teaspoon of sesame oil, which I'm going to add right now. And then, finally, we're going to add some red chili flakes.
Oh, nice.
To it as well. Now, for the red chili flakes, and this is something I'm also going to use in the next recipe, I'm actually taking an ancho chili. And I'm going to very thinly cut this up rather than using traditional red pepper flakes. And this is a dried chili. You don't have to reconstitute it when you're using it like this.
And you won't get nearly the heat off the ancho chili.
No. Nachos are not very hot. They are, you know, they've got some heat to them, but they're not very hot. And again, this is the brand that's sold right here at Whole Foods. We're going to toss that in there. All right. Now, ideally, you're going to blend this in a blender. I don't have a blender here, so I'm going to mix it up and get it to the right consistency. There you go. We'll get it to the right consistency, and then we'll go from there. I think that's not what the engineer wanted to hear.
No.
All right, so I'm going to break this up a little bit more with some more rice wine vinegar.
And while you're blending, while you're mixing, while you're putting it all together, we're going to go and take a break. Chef and a Fat Man live from the Whole Foods right here in East Cobb, Marietta, Georgia. Taking it to the streets of Marietta.